First, we now know what the November ballot looks like for Wisconsin. We know who will be running for governor, U.S. Senate, Congress, the state legislature, and other offices. In yesterday's elections, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Evers emerged the winner of the Democratic primary for governor. He'll take on Governor Scott Walker, who easily won his Republican primary. In the nation's most expensive Senate primary, Republican State Senator Leah Vukmir defeated Marine veteran Kevin Nicholson. She'll face Democratic incumbent U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. In the state's most closely watched congressional race, iron worker Randy Bryce won the Democratic primary in southern Wisconsin's 1st District. He'll go up against attorney and UW Regent Brian Stile, who took the GOP primary. The winner of that race in November will succeed House Speaker Paul Ryan, who is not seeking re-election. In other election news, two state lawmakers lost their primary bids. Madison will have its first African-American member of the state assembly, and voter turnout was the highest in years. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science at Carroll University. She's an expert in American politics, Congress, and public policy. She's also the author of Mad Men and Politics, Nostalgia and the Remaking of Modern America. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me today.
Well, let's begin with the race for governor. Voters had their choice of 10 Democrats, two dropped out before the actual election, and 42% of the voters on that side went with Tony Evers. Coming in second was firefighter union head Malin Mitchell. He was second with 16%, and former state representative Kelda Royce was third with 13%. How do you think Evers was able to come out with as much of a cushion as he did?
Well, I think, you know, Tony Evers had won statewide races before, and so people knew who he was a little bit more than some of the other candidates. A lot of the other candidates who were running in the Democratic primary had a lot of support in their particular home bases, but were not necessarily as well known as Evers across the state. So I think that's probably a large part of what contributed to his cushion, as you say.
There was a comment on Facebook from Rick. He wrote, "The self-proclaimed party of diversity and social justice once again picks an old white guy to run for governor. This one may have even less appeal than Tom Barrett, which is quite a feat." Do you think that Rick is tapping into a general feeling, or is Evers going to get voters excited?
I mean, that obviously remains to be seen in the general election. He is a white guy, and he's running against another white guy. But, you know, if we can segue slightly into probably the next topic, we have two women running for the U.S. Senate seat, which I think is the first time we've seen a statewide race between two women in Wisconsin.
And we'll definitely talk about that race. First, I want to stay at the top of the ticket there. Former state representative Mandela Barnes won the Democratic primary for lieutenant governor. So he and Evers will be combined as one ticket on the November ballot. Barnes is African-American. So going back to Rick's comment about maybe Evers not really breaking the mold, does at least having Mandela Barnes on the ticket make the Democratic side maybe a little more appealing, maybe a little more exciting?
Well, it's certainly, again, you know, you sort of seeing more and more African-Americans running in a variety of places. And we saw this in some of the assembly races as well that you highlighted in the overview. And at the same time, you have Scott Walker, who is likely, again, to continue with Rebecca Clayfish. So you do have a little bit of diversity in both those tickets.
What do you think, Lily, having watched a lot of elections, do you think that the vast majority of state Democrats, even if they were not behind Evers for the primary, obviously with eight candidates still on the ballot by the time or still in the race by the time people were voting, it was split amongst a lot of different candidates. Do you think that that other, say, 68% or so of people who voted for someone else will get in line behind Evers?
Well, as we've seen over the years with regard to the Scott Walker administration, a lot of Wisconsin Democrats are not enthusiastic and, you know, obviously some years back also advocated for and pushed through a recall. So I have a feeling that a lot of the Wisconsin Democrats who in the past have not been great fans of the Walker administration are likely to coalesce around Evers and Barnes as they, you know, as they battle with Walker.
So shortly after the race was called for Evers, the state Republican Party launched a digital and TV ad that attacked Evers. It talked about a Middleton teacher who kept his license in 2014 despite having viewed pornographic images at work and showing them to his female coworkers. Evers said this morning in Madison that he didn't have the power to revoke the teacher's license because students didn't actually see the material. Here's what Evers had to say.
We did that revocation by state law. And we changed state law so it fixed that loophole. Simple as that. I was following state law as a constitutional officer. That's what the people of Wisconsin expected of me as state superintendent. And so these type of attack ads are ridiculous, but we should expect that he's going to go on and on about this. This is going to be carpet bombing.
And then Governor Walker was on a tour around the state today, and this is what he had to say about Evers' position during a stop in Eau Claire.
This is one of those where I believe that the answer that didn't think he could do it is a bureaucratic answer. True leadership stands up and says, I'm going to stand up and defend children. He failed to do that. I think that's an important difference.
Do you think this specific case about this Middleton teacher is going to stay an issue in this race?
I mean, it may, but I have a feeling that this race is going to have a lot of different ads and different sort of policy points and different attack points. So this may be one that the opposition, the Walker team, puts forward and attempts to try to define Evers by. But I have a feeling there are probably going to be more on both sides.
We're talking with Lily Gorin. She's a professor of political science at Carroll University, and we're taking a look at the election results from yesterday's primary here in Wisconsin. And Governor Walker also released his first ad of the general election cycle. Guess we're not getting any kind of breathing room after the primaries.
Nope.
Saying he would forgive up to $5,000 in student loan debt for those who stay in Wisconsin and work in high demand jobs. He also promised tax breaks to parents who pay for childcare and senior citizens who stay in their homes. He didn't mention what the price tag would be for those or whether he would have support in the legislature to pass it. What's your read on these kind of, very big idealistic proposals?
Well, again, Scott Walker is not an outsider at this point. And it's one of the points that I've made, to some degree of late. He came in kind of as an outsider and an advocate for a different way of doing business and doing politics. And we've seen that, during his time in office. But this is his third campaign for the governor's office, not including the recall. And he has, he has a record that people either support or may attack. And so he may be trying to also sort of push forward of this is what I'm going to do next. At the same time that there are a lot of people who are asking about, some of the transportation issues and the results of the Foxconn deal and so forth.
The Walker campaign has challenged Tony Evers to two debates. That's the same number of debates that he agreed to in 2014 against then-candidate Mary Burke. Tony Evers said today that he'd like to debate Walker every night. How important are debates in general, and do you see them being important in this particular race?
Well, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of advertising in a lot of venues. So on our televisions, on the radio, when you go online in terms of seeing advertisements there as well. So debates allow at least for the individual voter to see a little bit more of the candidates back and forth and how they think on their feet, as opposed to, what is essentially prepackaged either attack ads or supportive ads. And I have a feeling that's oftentimes when people do tune into debates, that's what they want to see. They want to see the candidates engaging in, to some degree, longer discussions and conversations.
And before we move on to the Senate race, you talked about a lot of advertising. Of course, advertising takes a lot of money.
Yep.
Governor Walker had a war chest during the primaries. It was probably the end of June reporting, where it was, I believe, $5.8 million, definitely more than $5 million. Tony Evers was not even the highest fundraiser of the Democratic candidates in the primary. How is the money going to stack up?
Well, you know, this remains to be seen, and because there's likely to also be outside money that comes into the state. In the past, we've seen a lot of outside money come into this state with regard to some of these statewide races. So, you know, how much money ultimately is spent both at the governor's on the governor's race and also on the Senate race, it's probably going to be quite a lot.
We're talking with Carroll University political scientist Lily Gorin about yesterday's primary elections and what's on tap for November. And we want to hear what's on your mind at 800-642-1234. Who are you backing for governor, for U.S. Senate, for Congress? How excited are you about your choices for November? Are you seeing a blue wave coming this fall in Wisconsin? Or do you think Republicans will fend off those challenges and maybe even pick up seats? How are you feeling this day after the primary? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We pick up our conversation now about yesterday's primary elections with Lily Gorin. She's a professor of political science at Carroll University. And you can weigh in at 800-642-1234. How are you feeling about yesterday's elections? Did your candidates win or lose? How excited are you about the November ballot? Are you pulling for Tony Evers or Governor Walker or maybe one of the third party candidates? And what about the contest between Leah Vukmir and Tammy Baldwin? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Lily, let's move on to that U.S. Senate race. State Senator Leah Vukmir beat Marine veteran Kevin Nicholson 49-43%. Is that what you expected for how that race would play out?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that Vukmir would have all that much of a problem in the primary. And those numbers sort of reflect the fact that I thought that she would probably win the nomination.
And she had the backing of the Republican establishment, and she got the nomination of the state GOP. Should that have been a bigger margin that she won by, given that?
No, I mean, she did a lot of campaigning, and she went all over the state, a lot of retail campaigning. She does have a lot of fans and supporters within the Wisconsin GOP, and she did have a lot of, you know, endorsements across the board. But Nicholson had a lot of money backing him, a lot more money, I believe, than she did. And that probably was one of the assets that he did have that pushed his numbers as high as they did in terms of his capacity to advertise and get himself a bit better known than he had been.
Do you think that the Nicholson supporters will get behind Vukmir in the fall?
I would assume that quite a few of them probably will. I mean, I think this will be a hotly contested Senate race. I think that there'll be a lot of national attention on it as well as statewide attention on it. I expect to see Walker and Vukmir campaigning together. I also expect to see probably Baldwin and Evers campaigning together. And I expect that we shall probably see quite a few supporters, surrogates, national level surrogates coming into the state as well.
So Leah Vukmir will go up against the incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. She said America needs another conservative in Washington. She also said during her victory speech last night that people will be hearing the following message throughout the campaign.
Tammy Baldwin let you down at the Tomah VA.
Yeah.
Tammy Baldwin ignored a whistleblower report that told her and only her that a doctor was overprescribing opioids and a veteran died.
Yeah.
And many others became addicted. I will not let her forget that. And I want you to know, veterans in this room and active duty, I have your back. I will never let you down.
So, Lily, Democrats have said Baldwin has worked with the parents of the vet who died and that she's called for three separate investigations into the facility. How much has the Tomah story stuck to Baldwin, and is this going to be a big hurdle for her in getting past the November election?
It has stuck to her. And so when it happened, there was definitely a partisan attempt to you know, have this as a defining story about Baldwin. And, you know, Baldwin is a first term senator, so she wasn't as well known statewide as other people who have run for statewide offices more. And so this is part of, you know, what she has, you know, she's been sort of labeled with. And I think it's also one of the things she's been campaigning against, if you will, as she's trying to move people to support her. And she has been doing a lot of campaigning in the state, even though she didn't really have much of a threat during the primaries. But she's been trying to, you know, get around the state, you know, talk to people, again, sort of this retail politics. And her numbers have been inching up for her, probably as a result of some of that.
We have some callers who want to weigh in on the governor's race. Let's go to Jeremy in Middleton. Hi, Jeremy.
Yes, hi. I was just calling because I've returned back to Wisconsin after living the last 3 years over in Honolulu. I can tell you that Governor Ige in Hawaii is so inspirational compared to the governor that we have here, we've suffered through here. But what I can't understand is why we can't get better candidates for governor. Mary Burke was not a strong candidate. And this gentleman, I don't know much about him, but I understand that he's being accused of looking at pornography and on a school. Well, I mean, really, we can't get better candidates.
Actually, Jeremy, it's not Tony Evers who was accused of that. It was a teacher, and Tony Evers was the superintendent of public instruction. So it was not the candidate who was viewing pornography.
Seriously, I mean, the guy doesn't, the little that I've seen of him, he just doesn't strike me as being a very compelling figure.
And thanks for that, Jeremy. Let's go now to Brendan in Madison. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What would you like to say?
Yeah, so I'm kind of a centrist myself. I'll swing back and forth to both sides depending on the candidate, try to get the facts from both sides. And I'm kind of skeptical of Walker myself, mostly because he's been in office so long. I think politicians get content when they're in offices too long and they're not willing to change as much. But my main concern with Tony Evers is I don't know if he's going to be charismatic enough to be able to carry the areas outside of the solid blue cities in Wisconsin. He's going to have to be able to convince people in northern, traditionally red areas that he's the better candidate than Walker. And I don't know if he can do that.
Thanks for that call, Brendan. And since we're on the same topic, let's bring Lydia from Milwaukee on. Hi, Lydia.
Hi. I'm from Milwaukee. I actually just graduated from Rufus Kane High School, and I wanted to talk about the importance of getting a new governor in office that's not Scott Walker, because any governor might be able to do better than Scott Walker in handling education and handling the education cuts that we've seen in public schooling, especially in the ignorance that Scott Walker and the rest of the Republicans that hold office sort of just ignore Milwaukee and see it as a problem, even though it's one of the economic forces driving the state's economy, as well as his continual cuts with the UW system, while the UW system provides a very important role in not only the education for everyone across the state, but resources and a place to work. And I would just like to see a candidate in office other than Scott Walker. And since Tony Evers is so focused on education, hopefully he can replace, he can repair what damage that Walker has done.
Thanks for that call, Lydia. So a range of ideas there, Lily. Some people saying, you know, Tony Evers just doesn't seem like he's kind of got that charisma to bring new voters over to that side. Lydia saying, you know, kind of doesn't matter anyone but Walker. What are we going to be seeing as far as messaging and reaching out to the voters as we inch towards November?
Well, I mean, again, I think that you're going to have a challenger in Evers who's going to try to define Walker and the issues that, you know, that a lot of people are critical of with regard to Walker. And particularly from the Democratic view, it's the questions around education, as Lydia was highlighting. And then you're going to have Walker, who's going to have to run at least somewhat on his record. And so he's going to be advocating for what he has done in terms of some of the education changes and cuts with regard to, you know, some of the transportation issues and, of course, discussions about the economy in Wisconsin.
There's been talk of waves. There was a Republican wave, a red wave in 2016. There's been talk of whether 2018 is a year for a blue wave. Let's bring on John in Pewaukee next. Hi, John.
Hello.
What would you like to share?
Well, like I said, I mentioned the person before, I'm a moderate independent and I'm Hispanic. And I split my vote in the last election. And I don't see a red wave or a blue wave as much as I see a purple wave. Because when I talk to my friends who are independents and or even Hispanics, I will not be surprised if both Walker and Tammy Baldwin win. Because at least with as an independent, I see a lot of friends who are saying, you know, like with Walker, they don't necessarily hate, they don't hate him. They don't necessarily like him. They think it's okay. He really hasn't made us mad, really. I mean, I know the Democrats are mad at him, but as far as independents, he's okay.
So,
and
John,
it's the same with Baldwin.
So, John, as an independent, you really, it sounds like, vote on issues and the positions of different candidates, and their party affiliation really isn't as big a deal.
No. Like I said, I'd vote for the individual. I was not surprised when Trump won. I was not surprised. I knew more Hispanics who planned to vote for him than what the press was telling me.
And we'll leave it there. We're getting a little short on time, John, but thanks for that call. And Lily, you know, those independents, that's someone to keep in mind since it's a partisan primary, so we probably didn't get a good sense of them.
Yeah, I mean, and so you have to make a choice. You had people yesterday had to make choices of all kinds, not only on the candidates, but also the party that they were going to sort of vote for people within. And you know, ballots had five or six different parties that you could choose. And so now we move into the general election when Walker and Evers and Vukmir and Baldwin and everybody else are going to be not only trying to galvanize their base voters, you know, the Republicans or the Democratic voters who they want to, you know, make sure they come and vote, but also to get crossover voters, to get independents like John, or to get ticket splitters, people who, you know, might go both ways, as it were. And so I think we'll probably see messaging of both those kinds as we move into the general election.
And Lily, very, very briefly, turnout was 22.2%, the highest level since 2002. Does that bode well for lots of voters getting to the polls in November?
It's likely to, because primaries don't usually draw as much as the general election. So this may be a blueprint for getting more people to the polls in November.
Well, Lily, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on today.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science at Carroll University. We talked with her about the results from yesterday's primary elections.